Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
And good morning. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with my partner, Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach through restaurantguysradio.com, or you can even podcast us on iTunes and get the show downloaded to your computer or iPod every day.
Isn't that fabulous?
Too fabulous.
Yeah. People are emailing us from all over the world. Please keep doing so. That's really great.
It's really been exciting for us
to get all those
messages from all over.
And in addition to Stage Left Restaurant, we want everyone to know that within the month, we'll be opening Catherine Lombardi Restaurant, which will be a very important Italian restaurant in the state of New Jersey. And if you are in New Jersey and would like to come join the team at Stage Left or Catherine Lombardi, this is a shameless plug. You can email us at francis@stageleftrestaurant.com or francis@stageleft.com or mark@stageleft.com, or you can go to the website, restaurantguysradio.com, and find out how to come and join a team of professionals.
Francis, don't kid yourself. That was shameful.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
You're absolutely right.
So, Francis, you following the news at all lately?
I have been.
I know
what story you're going to talk about because you prepped me. Let's get right into it.
The milkshake murder trial.
This is sort of
like
this
woman's getting a life sentence for killing her husband.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about love?
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about love.
Yeah.
Love is giving a man a milkshake before you murder him. Okay? If you don't like him, you give him a cup of coffee.
Not if it's laced with...
Yeah, but there are so many other ways that she could have done this, you know, if she was going to do it.
You're a little twisted. Do you realize that? Is that how you want to go? Is the milkshake murder?
Well, if you're going to, you know, I got to tell you,
that's
Jennifer,
bizarre.
If you're listening, if you're going to kill me, do it with a milkshake, baby.
That's bizarre.
I'm killing myself with them. Why can't I?
Yeah, it's just more slowly. It's more slowly. No, I have been watching the news. I've also watched, there's some other ridiculousness.
There's tons of ridiculousness
out there. You have a White Castle lasagna.
I love it.
We're currently putting together a restaurant that is focused on Italian cuisine. It's actually Italian-American cuisine. It really comes from the recipes of Mark's grandmother, whose table I had the opportunity to dine at, and it was great food. And she's spinning in her grave because of this. Mark?
Well, White Castle every year does a cook-off, where you take White Castle burgers and you make them into some non-White Castle burger thing.
Right. So what would you make?
This year's winner, White Castle lasagna.
Horrible.
I'm mortified.
Leftover sliders and made them into...
Chop them up and put them in a lasagna and...
Yeah.
Okay, you want to know some other cool things they made with White Castle?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we have White Castle on a shingle. Don't ask. I don't want to know. Okay. We have White Castle pate. Okay, so White Castle in a blender is all I can think of. We have Stubby's three cheese spinach quiche.
Can you stop? Can we stop?
No, I got a couple more.
Okay.
Castle's cordon bleu.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Brewpub cheese and beer soup. And hold on. The 2002 grand prize winner,
yeah,
Castle Balls.
Like meatballs?
I don't know.
It's big balls, I'll tell you that much. Well, you won't be finding any of that around.
Yeah. What will we think of next? That's on the category of what will we think of next.
Speaking of winners and losers, we have the two television reality series, radio restaurant
show. Not so real reality.
We had the Katie Hagen Welchel took top honors on PBS's Cooking Under Fire, while tattooed chef, quote-unquote, Michael Ray prevailed on Fox's Hell's Kitchen.
What did they win?
Well, the three judges on Cooking Under Fire.
A new car!
Todd.
Todd
English, Ming Tsai, and Michael Ruhlman preferred Hagen Welch over runner-up Sarah Lawson and were dead set on picking her no matter how she performed, so says the New York Times, because even though he turned in her dish 22 minutes late and didn't bother to prepare a dessert.
What do you need dessert for?
They still picked her as the winner. Todd English proclaimed her as the next great American chef. Now, throughout the show, English described the winner's prize as a job as chef at one of my restaurants in the culinary capital of the world, New York City. He never came out and said which restaurant that might be. His newest restaurant is called English is Italian. Recently got a no-star review in New York Times.
No stars. Usually, if they're going to give you no stars, they don't bother to write the review.
It's so bad that it has to be interesting how bad you are. So English is Italian. It might be in the food capital of the world, but it's one of the worst restaurants in the food capital of the world.
That's not true. You've never eaten there. You don't know that to be true.
Okay.
Except via the New York Times restaurant
critic. And everybody else has eaten there.
Has said it so.
And so let it be written, so let it be done. Okay. So throughout the show, he described this as the job as chef at one of my restaurants. It turns out that Hagen Welchel got a job at English's Olives restaurant, a mediocre whatever.
Whoa, holy cow.
But as sous chef, not actually the chef in charge. And the Times writes...
Okay, For those of you who don't understand these two positions, sous chef, a restaurant could have as many as 10 or 12 sous chefs sometimes.
Right.
That seems to be the new trend. Usually, in the old days, it used to be there was maybe an executive chef, maybe a chef de cuisine,
and then a sous chef.
So you're talking about a guy who's at least third in this restaurant.
Right. So she goes on this reality show, and then what she wins is a job. You know how my chef won his job? No reality show. He applied. He was the most qualified guy.
What's the application?
And I gave him a job.
Yeah.
Now, maybe English should have described the top prize as a position with the word chef in it. So the job was at a mediocre restaurant, and it wasn't really chef.
Unbelievably bad form.
Oh, my
God. Bad form. And frankly, I mean, I'm sure this woman doesn't want to screw up her career because she does want to be a chef. But
you promise someone a job as chef, and they turn up on the first day of work, and they're the sous chef. They're walking out the door.
They should.
And you won. What you won is your prize is a job. What's that all about? A job is what you get because you're qualified. Check this out. How's she doing? English's weblog, Todd's Journal, says the newest addition to the Olives team, Katie Hagen Welchel, the winner of my PBS show Cooking Under Fire, is hard at work in the kitchen and doing great. Throughout the competition, we saw how talented she is, and I'm so glad to have her here. Except he misspelled her name on the website.
Oh.
You won a job, and I can't even spell your name right.
That's rough. Here's your business card.
And here's the final dig from the New York Times, again, to Todd English.
Why are you riding him so hard?
Just because he deserves it. Because he promised someone a job as a chef.
Wrong.
And then suckered him.
Reminds me of that Toyota one that we talked about once before.
Well, tell him about that at the end of the show again. But there's a bait and switch here. Now, in interviewing her, she said her first job was out of school at Elaine Ducasse in the Essex House in New York. I was there when they were awarded 4 stars. I worked there for 2 years. And then the Times muses, 4 stars, you can't beat that. Maybe English should have put Hagen Welchel in charge of his newly opened collaboration with Chattero, English is Italian.
Ooh.
This restaurant recently received a no-star review from the New York Times.
Ooh.
It's ripe for some new talent. How arrogant. You won a job. And the other guy, the 28-year-old, won a chef and Fox's reality show, Hell's Kitchen, because he bested a field of 12 in competition.
Okay. There were 12 people, and again, I saw the show a couple times.
With Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay, I lost a lot of respect for doing that show. Like, three of them are chefs, and, like, 9 of them never been in a kitchen before.
Yeah.
And he's literally sitting there going, okay, who's going to win? And I couldn't believe it. The two chefs came down with the two finalists.
Yes,
unbelievable.
Right. And the old lady who like cooked dinner for her family and had never worked in a professional kitchen didn't win. What an unfair show. And we're going to talk more about that particular show at the end of our program today. But we have Natalie McLean, who is a wine expert who has her own website on. In just a moment, we're going to be talking with her about wines in general and wines on the web. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Today on the show, we have a special guest hailing from Canada. We have Natalie McLean. Natalie has one of the most interesting wine websites called Nat Decants. And Natalie McLean holds down a day job as a wine writer, speaker, and judge, according to her website. She's an accredited sommelier. She's a member of the National Capital Sommelier Guild, the Wine Writers Circle, and several French wine societies with complicated names that I'm not going to go into. In 2003, Natalie was named the world's best drink writer at the World Food Media Awards in Australia, and she joins us from her home in Canada. Hi there, Natalie.
Welcome
Hi.
To the show, Natalie.
Oh, thanks, guys. How are you?
We're great.
We're doing great. So your website's pretty interesting. How did and we're going to link your website to our website, so everybody can go to restaurantguysradio.com and get linked up and find Natalie's site. How did you start this thing, and what's the purpose? It's a pretty mammoth and pretty comprehensive wine website, one of the best out there.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much. It's grown organically, like most websites, over time. I started writing about wine about 5-6 years ago. I like to say I started drinking when I met my husband. yeah, I haven't had a reason to stop.
Uh-huh.
Just a reason to make it more respectable by writing about it. Actually, I was in high-tech marketing, and my husband and I had a son who is now about 6,
uh-huh.
and I was on maternity leave. And I say to most people, you know, only in a sleep-deprived state could you think that a career path of high-tech marketing to writing about wine makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I was wandering around our local grocery store, picked up a beautiful food magazine, thought, why isn't there a wine article? Because I had just studied about wine for fun and thought, I'm just going to see if they might like to have an article about wine on the Internet. Because I had taken the wine courses mm-hmm. in, you know, working in the Internet space, and thought, I can do that.
Do you remember what the magazine was?
It was called President's Choice. It's a play off one of the brands in our local grocery store.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, and it went from there. She accepted the article. She said, well, are you published? And I'm thinking, yes, my high school newspaper.
Right,
don't ask
right,
me
right,
to
right.
And I am now, if you print this.
And so how yeah. do we get from there to having what is a pretty substantial website?
Well, it's a passion for wine and a passion for writing, and mm-hmm. I just feel so fortunate to combine the two. So over time, over these last 6 years, I've been writing for more and more publications, and what I do is I put online or into my email newsletter the articles that have been published in various places,
mm-hmm.
because that started kind of without really my thinking it through either.
Right.
I mean, friends from, you know, who didn't live close by and couldn't get the magazines
mm-hmm.
For which I was writing said, email me your articles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, you know, over time I thought, why don't I just do this in an organized way? And
yep.
now there are readers in 36 countries for this wine newsletter.
That's awesome. We understand. We do the same thing with broadcasting our radio show.
Yeah, we broadcast out of Central Jersey, and we just said, oh, what the heck, let's throw it up on the web. And now we're at about 12,000 people a week that download the show.
Wow, that's impressive.
So it's fun.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm growing. Now,
I want to know how you become Elle Magazine's top 30 power women.
By luck, I think.
Well, it can't just be luck.
They had to fill in a spot.
Yeah.
Well, they'd heard about some of the awards that I had won,
mm-hmm.
and I think they really just wanted to round out the roster. They had their usual whatever, celebrities and so on, but they wanted to get those unusual career paths that everyone aspires to when they retire. So I was slotted in there because the editor had seen something or another that I had written, and so she threw me into the mix.
Well, and I think that one of the things that is very interesting, and the way I'll tell everyone that the way that we came across Natalie's website is we obviously do a lot of research on different aspects of wine and food, and I would look up a number of different topics, and Natalie's website would pop
yep.
up as one of the many good sources of information on a lot of different topics, and finally I said, okay, who is this woman? And so now that I have a radio show, it's my excuse to call up anybody I ever wanted to talk to and get them to talk to me for half an hour.
Excellent.
How do you take that career path? And I'm assuming you actually make a living off this now.
Yeah, just barely. But
how does that work?
We understand.
And just so everyone knows what you've got, Natalie has the website, but she also, if you subscribe, you'll get the newsletter sent to you on a regular basis.
Exactly. It's a free newsletter because I am repurposing the content that has been appeared elsewhere, and I've been paid for it. So
right.
off my website at nataliemclean.com, you can sign up for this newsletter. But the way I earn my living is to publish those articles in print first somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I write for publications in the U.S., Canada, Australia, Britain, and so on. Because wine, as you know, like food, is a universal topic. So you can talk about the health benefits of wine, food and wine matching, choosing from a restaurant list, and so on. It travels pretty well around the world.
But how did you get yourself to the point where you are an expert?
Well, you know what? When you say that, I still don't feel like I'm an expert.
Well, you better get over it.
Yeah, okay.
Because you're being quoted all over the place.
I feel I learn as I go. So I think about, you know, when I'm thinking about what should I write about, I think, well, what question do I want to answer? What do I not know enough about? Well, I'm kind of intimidated in terms of choosing off a restaurant list. What if it's a restaurant wine list that I've never seen before? Are there some tips I can use?
Then how do you go find the information?
Well, I do log into about 65 wine columns around the web. You know, a lot of free content still out there.
Sure thank goodness. Is.
Yep. And I call the other so-called experts, sommeliers, bartenders, whomever might be, you know, lend some expertise on the topic.
It's very important to bounce ideas off of people in the field.
And you can feel free to call us from now on.
You're on my list.
You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Our guest today is Natalie McLean, who's the owner of Nat DeCant's website. She's a Canadian wine expert and a really cool lady. We'll be talking more with her in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25. Back with The Restaurant Guys. Our guest today is Natalie McLean, who has the website Nat DeCant's. She's a Canadian wine expert, and she joins us from her home in Canada today.
And Natalie, good news.
Yes?
You've just become Natalie. You're now, Francis has just dubbed you. It's your one word
name. I said McLean, did I not? I was trying to get the website name properly.
Whatever's easiest.
We were talking about you being from Canada. Now, do you have a particular expertise in Canadian wines or a particular focus on Canadian wines?
Well, I have easy access to them, and I'm a fan of Canadian wines, although I'm pretty universal in my tastes. But, yes, we have two excellent wine regions here in Canada, in the Niagara area that borders New York and Ontario, and, of course, the Okanagan in B.C., and we're producing really good wines. It's just we produce them still in very small quantities, so you're not going to see a lot of those wines in the U.S. Just yet.
Now, there is, a predisposition in the United States, when we think of upper New York State wines and Canadian wines, to think that the best wines are the sweet wines. Are there great dry wines being produced up there?
There are indeed. Certainly ice wines, the sweet dessert wines, put us on the map.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of those come to the United States.
Yeah, and, you know, it goes along with the cliches of igloos and polar bears, so it fits the image, right? But moving beyond that, we do produce two excellent cool climate wines. That's what we have here. So Riesling, that does well in Germany, it does well here, and Pinot Noir.
Right.
The great dry table wines in those styles.
And Natalie?
Yes.
I lived in Canada for the first few years of my life.
Excellent.
There are certainly a few months of the year that you could have igloos and and such.
Okay, fine. Perpetuate the stereotypes.
Well, come on, it snows a lot.
Well, yeah. I mean, but you've seen, we've seen some here. I think, again, people think Riesling, they think sweet, but we've seen a number of dry Rieslings from Canada. Inniskillen Winery, we see a lot down here.
Yeah.
Do you write about that a lot in your column?
Yeah, I my first loyalty is to readers. So, what they can get, what's a good value, what tastes great, and what's available.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if that happens to be a Canadian wine, great. I'll wave the flag. But you know, if it's a Chilean whatever, Sauvignon Blanc, that's what'll fit the story. And you know, that's my focus is what's best for the reader in terms of, you know, what wine fits this theme or goes with this food or whatever.
And I think also what's very interesting about your site is it's not just a ranking of the best or a rating of the best. There's actually in-depth and interesting articles about individual topics. And to find Natalie's website, our guest is Natalie McLean. She has natdecants.com, which is a website that you can link to through our website. She's a wine expert from Canada, and we're going to be talking more with her after the news. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott, and I'm here with Mark Pascal. Together we own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every weekday from 11 a.m. to noon, and you can reach us through our website at www.restaurantguysradio.com. We're also podcasting, so you can go to iTunes or Podcast Alley and get our show delivered to your computer by subscribing every time we put one up on the air. Today our guest is Natalie McLean. She is a Canadian wine expert and the owner and operator of natdecants.com, which is one of the most interesting and in-depth wine websites out there on the World Wide Web. Hi there, Natalie.
Hey, Francis. How are you?
I'm doing great. We were talking before the news specifically about you having a website that responds to your readers' interests. But what prompts you to pick a topic to write about? I mean, what do you find that your readers are most interested in? Is it service? Is it where to find good wines? Or is it about specific regions?
Well, sometimes, reader response is very critical to me, and sometimes I feel like I have a fiber optic cable connected right to my nervous system because I get a lot of email every day, which is terrific. It keeps me grounded. So the two hottest topics in the world of wine are how do I buy wine? You know, I'm faced with a shelf of thousands of bottles. How do I buy it so that I can match it with whatever I'm eating tonight? And how, when I'm in a restaurant, how do I choose from that list that looks so scary?
What is your first line? Being a restaurateur, what is your first advice to someone?
We give people advice on this all the time, but I would love to hear your...
So you go into a restaurant, you sit down, there's a daunting wine list that's a tome. What do you recommend people
do? Which, by the way, we have a daunting wine list that's a tome in our restaurant. So.
Excellent. Scare the heck out of people first. No, I think, first of all, I look at what kind of joint am I in. You know, is this a classy place that has some staff who are going to be wine knowledgeable? Mm-hmm. Could be a sommelier, could be the wine dude. But if there's somebody there that I think really does know the list, I'm going to ask that person. You know, regardless of how much I may know about wine, the person who works in the restaurant always knows his or her wine list better than I do because chances are they've tasted the wines on the list. Let's hope they have.
One of the things we like to do in that same instance is if my waiter really doesn't seem like he knows, don't be afraid to kick it up one more step.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
And the waiter will say, I don't know, but I'll get somebody who does.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So my first question, when I don't know if the waiter is knowledgeable or not, I don't want to put him or her on the spot, so I'll say, could I talk to someone who really knows this list, maybe who's tasted a lot of the things that are on here? And then I'll leave it open because the person may jump in and say, well, I have. You know,
right.
And that's great. I don't want to make them feel whatever.
And they very well may have.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's the right kind of place.
Yeah, that's my first step. And then if there's really no one in sight or no one's coming forward in terms of who knows the list, I'm going to look for regions I may personally be familiar with because I like whatever, California or Chile, and I may know the wines a bit better from that region.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm going to focus on what do I like or what is this restaurant specializing in? If it's an Italian, you know, restaurant, I'm going to look at the Italian list because it's going to match the food, most likely, but also let's hope they have a special passion for the wines from that country. So I'll narrow it down further to that, and then, of course, I'll stay within my price range, and then I'll hope for the best.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I'm much more likely to take a chance in a restaurant where I feel that there's someone knowledgeable.
Yeah.
If I've gone to a restaurant where I'm not seeing a lot of people who are into wine or into the wine list, where the wine glasses don't even look right, that's a big cue for me.
Yeah.
What's the table dressed with? If I'm in a place where the table isn't dressed with nice glasses or where I feel that there's not a lot of acumen about wine in the room, then I'm much more likely to go with something tried and true.
Well, I have something for both of you guys. Thanks, Francis. Bring it. I believe that... but it's exactly, and we recommend the same thing, Natalie, that you ask if someone that is around who's jazzed about wine, who knows about wine. And I think one of the greatest things of being in the restaurant business for the last 15 years or so is seeing the increasing level of professionalism and the increasing level of people who are really into it, who are doing this for a living. But every once in a while, we'll get what I call the wine joker, right? And I know he's a wine joker because I'm a wine expert, but... The guy comes over and is like, yeah, dude, I know all about wine, and he doesn't really know anything. Do you have any what do you do when you find yourself in a situation like that, or do you think there are any telltale signs for people to realize they're in the hands of a wine joker?
Well,
I like that title.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
a toughie. I know one time I said to the guy who had just poured my wine, I think this wine is corked. And he said, well, he held the glass up to the light and goes, I can't see any floaty bits, but I'd be happy to run it through a sieve for you. I'm thinking, okay, time to get firm.
And corked, and by the way, for those in the audience, I'm sorry, Mark, you were going to do that. But for those in the audience, corked means it doesn't mean it has cork floating in it. It's
no.
actually something that's a flaw that comes from a cork that's in a bottle of wine. And if you're a wine joker, you wouldn't know that.
That's right.
And it tastes a little bit like cardboard or,
exactly,
or wet paper.
Exactly. So, oh boy, that's a tough one because, okay, so if the guy is a joker and he's recommending something, you can, well, I guess you just ask some questions, try to fish it out in terms of if he knows what he's talking about or she. And if not, maybe you just say, well, you know, that's a really interesting selection if we were having it maybe different dishes.
Right.
But I think we'll just go this way.
Remember that joker is gender neutral.
Right,
yes,
exactly.
Of course.
There's no jokette. But no, I have to say that I think that one of the things that I, one of the little clues that I have, if someone's really serious about wine, first of all, if somebody's excited about it, you can tell.
Yeah.
But the person who's not excited about it, Mark and I have been out recently in a couple of restaurants where they automatically recommend the most expensive or the second most expensive bottle on the list. Now, there are times when that's appropriate, but they should be feeling you out to price. First of all, you as a guest, as a consumer, as a guest in the restaurant, should be giving an indication about what you want to spend. And
yeah.
if you're in a social situation where you can't say the price, first, I'm a guy, I'll just say, listen, I want to spend $100 or less, or I want to spend $50 or less. But if you feel in a situation where
actually,
you can't...
Actually, you're a guy who says, whatever.
That's true. At this point in my life, fortunately, I'm able to do that. But when you are talking with a sommelier, feel free, if you can't say the price range you're looking at, point to the prices on the list so the person can see. And if you're pointing at $50 bottles and they bring something out, I'm never shy about asking how much it costs because I've been slammed a few times.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that is so rude.
You know, the woman who produces our show for us just got back from a fact-finding tour of San Francisco for us. Said she went to a restaurant and went to purchase a bottle of wine that was, let's say, $65. The sommelier came back and said, I'm sorry, we're out of that wine, but here, I have another.
I recommend this.
I've never comprised wine. She said the wine was $135, the wine that they brought over.
Isn't that horrible, Natalie?
That is
awful.
Terrible.
And this is a very highly regarded, reputable restaurant.
That's like
shameful.
Bait and switch.
You know,
it's bait and switch.
You know,
it's shameful.
My other clues are when you ask someone at a restaurant what for a recommendation for what you should drink, if they tell you the Robert Parker score or any score, you know, that's anybody can read a magazine. So I view that as a negative. And the other thing, I know that
they can read. So
yeah,
that's
true. But I think that the best answer you can possibly get when someone says, "Well, what do you recommend we have to drink?" is they should say, "Well, what are you eating?"
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Right. Exactly. And maybe another question is, you know, what wines have you tried recently that you've liked?
Yeah.
And that'll give them a range of both your style, your taste preference, and your budget.
Yeah.
I also like to ask people if they're in a mood to experiment with something new.
Yes.
And that tells me, do you want to stick with Chardonnay, Cabernet, or maybe you want to venture into some Chenin Blanc from the Loire Valley from a region of Sauvignon or something that might be a little bit more interesting.
I like to do a really assertive kind of a push-pull if we're having trouble making the payroll that month. Like, well, if you really love your girlfriend, you will have the very expensive champagne.
Yes. How much are you willing to pay for love?
How much do you like this woman? Because you can have this bottle or you can have the expensive
Or is this a special night? That's one of my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, do you really care about this woman you're dating? Or
so are you seeing the same kind of increasing professionalism in wine professionals in restaurants in Canada as we are in the United States?
Absolutely. I think people are just picking it up as a personal passion, not even with, you know, a career goal in mind, but just because they're so interested in wine. I mean, as you guys know, I don't have to tell you how wine connects to so many years of life.
Yeah.
And just, you know, it combines that hedonism, I mean, you know, great kick out of wine, but also with the encyclopedic depth of just connecting. I think you could do a liberal arts degree.
Absolutely.
Through wine.
And you can do it on any level. You can just be a casual quaffer,
yeah.
or you can have it as a passion for the rest of your life. Our guest is Natalie McLean. She is a Canadian wine expert who has the website natdecants.com, and we're talking to her about the wine state of the world from a Canadian perspective. We'll be talking more with her in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Mark Pascal and Francis Schott, the Restaurant Guys. Today we're talking with Natalie McLean, a Canadian wine expert, who writes the website natdecants.com.
And we're going to link you to Natalie's website to go to restaurantguysradio.com. And as always, we'll put up a link to Natalie's website because it's really a lot of fun. Some very intelligent and in-depth articles. And I think what's interesting, Natalie, about your website is you really do write in-depth. I mean, I think there's a temptation in wine writing to either be writing scores, like numerical, buy this, don't buy that, your 10 best this, 20 best that, or to write, you know, simple, snappy, light, you know,
six paragraphs,
easy reading,
one column inch.
And you really take topics and you deal with them in depth. Now, I see that you've contributed to many magazines like the Chicago Tribune and Bon Appetit and Food and Wine and Reader's Digest and Business Week and on and on and on. So who's reading these in-depth articles?
Well, you guys are.
True.
And the subscribers to my newsletter. I also look for magazines and to a lesser extent newspapers who will take the longer articles because I find personally it's satisfying to explore an article in depth, explore it fully, answer the questions that are in my mind in terms of the issues, what I call what goes on around the glass. Mm-hmm. Like, so not just what's in it. We can't forget that. That's why we're so passionate about this. But also there's so much that goes on around the glass, the culture of wine, that makes it so interesting. And so I guess I can't help myself. I just love to burrow into it. And 2,000 words later, I resurface and go, it's time for a drink.
Now, Natalie, are magazines giving you assignments? Or are you writing your own articles on your own ideas and then submitting them?
Well, at first when I started writing, I used to take assignments. I still do, but I would say 95% of the time now, I sort of sit down, write what interests me, and then think, where does this belong in terms of the magazine or publication? That's my approach now, and it's working so far.
One of the articles that really caught our attention was Looking Through the Glass Thinly, where you dealt with this whole phenomenon that was dealt with in depth by a book that's out there now called Why French Women Don't Get Fat, about how wine drinking doesn't necessarily lead to weight gain.
No.
Well, why don't you talk with us about what you learned in that very in-depth article?
Oh, okay, sure. Well, when it comes to wine drinking, there's been several studies that say with moderate drinking, meaning a glass or two for women a day, maybe two to three max for men a day, shouldn't ruin your diet, even if you are on a diet, and certainly shouldn't cause you to gain weight. And there's a number of factors that contribute to that. So there are two things for those of us who are diet crazy.
So you're saying I can have wine on my diet?
Exactly.
I like this diet. I'm liking it better and better.
Exactly. Carrot sticks?
But
Chardonnay.
Doesn't wine have a lot of calories?
Well, there are two things. So calories is one thing that people count, and carbohydrates are the other. And so when what constitutes calories, I'm no medical expert, by the way. There's the disclaimer right up front.
Right. So if you drink wine and gain weight, don't get mad at Natalie.
Don't sue Natalie.
Exactly. Don't call me, man. But the calories in wine come from two things. One is, if there's any leftover sugar in the wine, so if it's sweet at all, there's going to be calories that come from that sweetness. But even when wine is fermented completely dry, you will still have calories in it from the alcohol itself. Alcohol has 7 calories per gram is how they measure it.
Right.
Whereas if you compare that to fat or sugar, they have 4 calories per gram. So you're still getting, you know, in those high alcohol wines that we're getting now from Australia, California, warm climates, they still have, they pack a caloric punch. But again, it's all about having them in moderation.
So a glass of wine is anywhere from 100 to 150 calories, somewhere in there, depending.
That's a good average. It might even be a little bit lower if you're not talking fortified wine. So a range might be anywhere from 95 to up to 115 might be an average if you're looking at about a 12% wine, 12% by alcohol.
Natalie?
Yes?
I have bigger glasses of wine than you.
So
I can't help you with that.
So is the equivalent amount of calories in wine not as bad for you as the same amount of calories in other things?
Well, wine doesn't have any fats, so saturated fats or otherwise. It doesn't have cholesterol, doesn't have sodium for those on low-salt diets.
Mm-hmm.
But it still has calories. So calories, you know, for those who are trying to watch their weight, calories are calories, no matter where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to limit your intake of that. But to a large extent, wine is getting a better and better reputation in terms of its health benefits. Not only when it comes to the calories and diet, but also to all of those other benefits that were discovered a little earlier on with the French paradox, where it was discovered there are heart benefits and so on in terms
right.
of, you know, your cholesterol.
Well, and you know, one of the biggest benefits of wine is that what more and more studies show, if you look at them with a clear eye, is that it's when people take the time to have a meal at a table and enjoy it, and enjoy it with friends,
yes.
you're much less likely to overeat, you're much less likely to eat poorly, and you're much more likely to be healthy.
Well,
exactly.
I also think you add stress into that as well. What does wine help? Wine is one of those things that helps relax you when you drink it in moderation, when you're drinking two or three glasses a day, not five, six, seven, ten glasses a day.
Right.
And frankly, the people who are less stressed are the people who are willing to take a little bit of time and set that aside to relax over an enjoyable beverage.
I know I certainly take a little time to relax over an enjoyable beverage. Our guest today is Natalie McLean. She owns Nat DeCance, the website. We're talking with her. She's a Canadian wine expert who is written and published internationally, and we're talking with her about wine. And we'll be talking more with her in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys. Today our guest is Natalie McLean. She's the owner of Nat DeCance, a great website that you can access from anywhere in the world. It's all about wine and wine-related topics, ingesting wine, where wine comes from, how to choose wine and diet. And she's an internationally published author in the English language on wine. And she joins us today from her home in Canada. We only have a few minutes left, Natalie, and I just want to ask you about something that I found on your website. A little unrelated to wine.
You should be frightened, Natalie. I don't know where he's going, but you should be scared.
This is the setup.
is it true that you're a championship Highland dancer?
Yeah, retired one. That is for young lassies.
Now, Highland dancing is when you dance with your arms in the air, right?
Yeah, exactly, and no scotch, because those swords are sharp.
You see, my ancestors are Irish. We dance with our hands down at our sides.
Yeah, I think that's indeed. My grandmother was Irish.
So how do you become the Canadian Highland dancing wine queen? How'd that happen?
Oh, dear. Lots of practice. What's that? Yeah, how do you get to the Juilliard? Yeah, lots of practice. No, I took it. I was raised in Nova Scotia, a very Scottish community in the East Coast. And, the girls did Highland dancing, the boys did hockey. So that was my life. I loved it. I practiced it 3-4 hours a day, went to competitions, fanatic, and then hung up my slippers, traded my tumbler for a wine glass.
And you know what's really good about that, Natalie?
What's that?
You still have all your teeth.
Excellent. I never thought about that.
You know, it's funny. I have in my family, the girls all go to Irish dancing lessons, and you know, two of the guys do. And those two guys hate their parents for making them do it when they're 7. But when they're 13, they love that their parents made them go to
because
the odds are completely in your favor. Hey, Natalie, we want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule
to
talk with
us. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
You're fabulous. That's Natalie McLean. Natalie has Nat DeCance, a wine newsletter and website which you should all check out. You can go to our website, restaurantguysradio.com, and we'll direct you there.
And there's some really, really interesting stuff on there, and Natalie really does, when she gets her teeth into a story, she really does get into it.
And they really go in depth. And a lot of people ask us where we get our information on how to do The Restaurant Guys. And, well, mostly we just make it up. But when we don't, we go get it from sites like Natalie's and other sites on the web as well for ideas all the time. Hey, you spent another hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.